is considered unlucky. Of course, Christians don't believe in superstitions like that, but Revelation 13 and Isaiah 13 are two of those reasons, because it stems way back. And we don't have anything to be afraid of. But this chapter is about Babylon. And interestingly enough, as we spill over into chapter 14 next week, chapter 14 is about the fall of the devil. But in chapter 14, God refers to the king of Babylon. So what we're going to find tonight is Babylon has a double meaning in the scriptures. And we're going to find that it refers to the physical Babylon, but also the spiritual Babylon, which we'll look at briefly tonight. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 13, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise, of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, but cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man that the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their horses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. So the burden of Babylon. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word in our hearts tonight and guide us. We commit this time to you and pray you'll be pleased in it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you already caught the fact that the early part of the chapter is focusing primarily on the day of the Lord, which is the tribulation period, whereas the end of the chapter is focusing on the physical, actual city of Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar built and where the children of Israel were taken captive. Now, Babylon is the most mentioned country in the Bible, or city or country in the Bible, after Israel and Egypt. And it's interesting because Israel, of course, is representative of God's city, God's people. Egypt has always been representative of the world. And we see that all through the Old Testament. But Babylon is representative of the devil's kingdom. and the devil's ways. And of course, we'll look in Revelation and see that sure enough, that will be the name given to the spiritual kingdom over which the Antichrist will rule and reign during the tribulation period. And so God is pronouncing the destruction of both, the physical and the spiritual. Now, the first part of the chapter you saw over and over, he mentioned the day of the Lord. And as we've seen before in our prophecy study on Sunday mornings, the day of the Lord, typically the words that God uses are words talking about wrath and destruction and anger. We saw there in verse 6, he says, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. He said down in verse 9, both with wrath and fierce, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. Here God is talking about the spiritual Babylon, which we're going to be looking at in a few moments. But the physical Babylon has actually been around a long time. If you go back to Joshua chapter 7, now that's a long way back in the history of Israel. Most of us know the story of Achan, who was punished, he and his family, for disobeying God's command when they went into the promised land and began to take the cities. Remember, they took Jericho first. The second city they took was Ai. And they lost that battle. And the reason was because Achan disobeyed God. And the whole nation of Israel was punished for it. But during that time, as they were listing what he took, notice here in Joshua chapter 7, down in verse 20, Achan here is confessing. He says, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. Now, this was written about 900 years before Nebuchadnezzar. So a place referred to as Babylon had obviously been around a long time. Now, most people believe that Babel was the beginning of Babylon. Now, of course, what is Babel representative of? It is representative of man believing that he is greater than God. Man saying, well, my accomplishments are great. I don't need God, which is essentially what Babel was about, when God had to come down and stop what man was doing and confuse the languages. And, of course, that's what Satan's kingdom is all about, isn't it? Rebellion against God's authority, as God being the ultimate highest authority, which again we'll see more of in chapter 14 in Isaiah next week. But the day of the Lord will be God's punishment on the earth as a whole, but also God's punishment on the spiritual Babylon. But he also, before we talk more about that, look down in our passage down in verse 19, we'll talk about the physical Babylon first. It said, the Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited. Now, that's quite a statement. Considering that when this was written, which was around 600 B.C., Babylon was one of the greatest cities in the world. When this was written, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were considered one of the seven wonders of the world. And the city of Babylon was considered impenetrable. It was, they estimate, about 40,000 hectares in size. It was surrounded with walls that were 30 meters tall. Can you imagine that? And 9 meters thick. It's completely surrounded the city. Most people believe that it could never be conquered. And about 150 years after this was written, it was conquered with the help of some earthquakes, of course, and it was razed to the ground, completely destroyed. And there hasn't been a city since called Babylon, one of the greatest places on earth from a human standpoint. And, of course, Saddam Hussein, one of his goals was to rebuild Babylon. One of the reasons was he wanted to prove the Bible not true. Because if he could rebuild Babylon, then he could say, well, see, Isaiah 13 said it would never be inhabited again. But he didn't succeed. And there is no Babylon. But that's where it was located. Geographically, was in Iraq. And it's gone. So the physical Babylon, God prophesied. By the way, when this prophecy was given, it was prior to the exile that God allowed through Nebuchadnezzar. Remember when he came and he took the young people captive, and Daniel, of course, and his friends were some of those people. And that, if you go to Psalm 137 quickly, we'll see where Israel talked about this time. They even wrote a psalm about it when they were taken captive. Notice Psalm 137, by verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So here we have Jews writing a psalm while they're in Babylon, saying, the Babylonians asked us to sing some of the songs of Zion. We miss Zion. We miss Jerusalem. And of course, they knew that they weren't there because of their own doing, because of their own sin. But historically, we can see what happened here. And of course, Isaiah wrote about its destruction prior to these events. And then we get to Daniel. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar has his dream. And the first kingdom mentioned there is the kingdom of Babylon, the golden head. And it would eventually fall. And God prophesied, if you go back to Zephaniah, actually, I lost the reference, but anyway, look it up this week. Zephaniah prophesied that God would use Babylon to destroy Jerusalem, which is exactly what happened. Nebuchadnezzar, when he came in, he flattened Jerusalem and took them captive. But then God prophesied that about 100 years later, the same would happen to Babylon, which it did. So, remember, if you go to Daniel chapter 4, that at the time, God had allowed Babylon to be such a great country, such a great city, and he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be a great king. Well, look at it spiritually. God allows the devil to be the god of this world. God is sovereign. At any moment, God could change that situation, but he allows it. He allows the devil to be the god of this world, and he will allow the devil to have the spiritual Babylon. He will allow the Antichrist for that short time. Notice here in Daniel 4, verse 30, which led to the fall of Nebuchadnezzar initially. It says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And we all know what happened next. God had to punish Nebuchadnezzar for his pride. And he got to wander around and eat grass for a while. But then later his son took over. And his son didn't care about the God of heaven. And eventually, Babylon was completely destroyed. Now, the physical Babylon and their involvement in the captivity of Israel was such a major event in God's Word that he used it to date the generations of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and I'll show you. He took the generations of Jesus Christ and basically broke it down into three sections. Section 1, from Abraham to David. Section 2, from David to the captivity. And section 3, from the captivity to Jesus Christ. Notice here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. It's quite interesting, isn't it? So 42 generations from Abraham to Jesus, physical generations, leading to Christ's physical parents. And this Babylon, that many thought was the greatest city in the world, could never be destroyed, was destroyed. And is gone. You can't go visit Babylon because it doesn't exist. But look at Isaiah chapter 14. And it's very interesting that, again, God allows this. Remember, He's sovereign. Though the physical Babylon, God said, would never be inhabited, the spiritual Babylon is yet to come in its glory. And in chapter 14, we'll look at next week. This in more detail than any other chapter in the Bible, records the fall of the devil. His fall from his glory because of his pride. And notice verse 4, thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Now when this was written, everybody believed it was talking about Nebuchadnezzar. And physically it was, but it was much further reaching than that. It's also talking about the devil. If you look down at verse 12 of Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Huh. So is it the king of Babylon or is it Lucifer? Yes. It's both. Now if you go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, we will see that the devil has been allowed to run the kingdoms of this world. Isn't it amazing when you think about it? Now, God's ultimately in control, but we must never forget that He is referred to as the God of this world. That it's the spiritualness of this world is referred to as spiritual wickedness in high places. It's because it's the devil's realm. And here in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted by the devil after the 40 days and 40 nights of the fasting, notice one of the temptations involved the kingdoms of the world. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So it's one thing that the devil had the power to show them all to Jesus somehow, from one place, but it went further than that. Verse 9, and he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. Now, I personally think the offer was genuine. The devil is the God of this world. He is in charge of the kingdoms of this world. And he, in exchange for Jesus worshiping him, was willing to give them all to Jesus. Think about that. Now, the devil, it was a silly offer because ultimately Jesus owns them all because he's God. But the devil's always trying to thwart God's plans, and it just shows that the devil and his realm are not finished. We live in it. We live in this world. And it will culminate, if you go to Revelation 14, in the spiritual Babylon that God promised would ultimately be destroyed during the day of the Lord, which we saw in the early part of the chapter. Now, this spiritual Babylon is even greater than the physical one. Notice chapter 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All nations. Keep that in mind. Look at chapter 16 and verse 19. Chapter 16, verse 19. The Bible says, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So Babylon is being judged. Look at chapter 17 and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels that had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Look at verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. There's going to be some sort of connection that we don't completely understand with an organization whose colors are purple and scarlet. And there's only one spiritual organization today that meets that criteria. And just to make it clear, God says in verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So another ancient kingdom rears its head during the tribulation period, Rome. Rome has always been referred to as the city on seven hills. And here we have this spiritual thing. And go back up to verse 5. Who is this woman? Her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. So Babylon is back during the tribulation period, but she's somehow connected with this Roman entity whose colors are purple and scarlet. So there's going to be some sort of a melding there that we don't completely know or understand. The good news is we won't be here. Amen? Because it's going to be bad. The whole world's going to be ruled by this one spiritual church, the devil's church. Verse 6, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Think about that. Not drunken with the blood of men or people of the world, but saints. Drunken with the blood of believers in God. So then we get over to chapter 18. Two whole chapters are devoted to Mystery Babylon, by the way. Chapter 17 and chapter 18. Two whole chapters. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And look at this, verse 3. For all nations, there it is again. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And we've already proven in our prophecy study that during the tribulation period and also in the early part of Isaiah, there's going to only be one world government during the tribulation period. But combined with the one world government is the one world church. Mystery Babylon. That leads everyone to worship the Antichrist, who, by the way, sits in, not Rome, but Jerusalem. The devil's trying to bring it all together. We've got Mystery Babylon, somehow connected with Rome and connected with Jerusalem. All happening during the tribulation. So notice verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for 1 hour is thy judgment come. When Jesus returns to the earth, he cleans it all up. Verse 21, a mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. Verse 23, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. It's the third time we've seen that phrase, all nations, in reference to Mystery Babylon, the entire world. Verse 24, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints. And look at this last phrase, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Wow. Sounds like Mystery Babylon has a lot of power. If ultimately her realm possesses the blood of all that were slain upon the earth, that sounds to me like the devil's realm, because he's the god of this world. So that takes us back to where we started tonight, Isaiah 13. That was the introduction, so now let's get into the message. No, I'm just kidding. Isaiah chapter 13. We are seeing now that Babylon is representative of the devil's realm. He is the king of Babylon, the mystery Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the physical Babylon. The devil is the king of the spiritual Babylon, which God promises. He already promised he would destroy the physical and did, 500 BC. But he promises, and we just read about its destruction, that it will take place in the tribulation period during this time referred to, verse 6, as the day of the Lord, a time of destruction. And during this day of the Lord, in this time of destruction, notice verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Verse 13, I will shake the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. It all ends when Jesus comes back and fulfills these prophecies in Revelation that say Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. Jesus Christ will destroy mystery Babylon with her connection to Rome during this time. If you would, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll finish there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we read about the Antichrist. Now remember, the Antichrist, yes, he is will be a man, but let's remember who he is controlled by, the devil. The tribulation period will have the unholy trinity, the devil, the beast, and the false prophet, because the devil always tries to counterfeit the things of God. And that's another example. And notice verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. He will be in the temple of God in Jerusalem. Spiritual Babylon, this one world religion, will somehow meld itself with the Catholic Church during this time. We don't understand how all that works, but there's going to be only one church. And it'll be the devil's church, the Antichrist. And everybody will be worshiping him as God in the temple at Jerusalem. And praise God, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The Lord Jesus Christ destroys with the spirit of his mouth the word of God when he returns. And Babylon will fall, the final Babylon that's somehow connected with the spiritual Rome that was part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and will be headquartered of all places in Jerusalem. Amazing. That's the devil's attempt to finish it, and it's just, he loses. Praise God. He loses, and Jesus wins, and it all gets destroyed. And as they said, thy judgment is come. That is the burden of Babylon, both physical and spiritual. And let's remember that though the spiritual Babylon isn't in existence right now in its purest form, the devil is still the god of this world. And it is our mission to rescue as many as we can from being part of it. Amen?
Amen.
Because if people don't get saved, they get to spend forever in the lake of fire with the devil. We have the solution through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And though we have to live in this world that the devil is the god of, he's not our God. The God of heaven is our God. And the kingdom of God is within us, the Bible says, right? So we're of a new kingdom. And we have to live in this realm But we don't have to live of this realm, as Jesus said. I pray not that you take them out of the world, he said, but that you keep them from the evil, there in John 17. So we're of a new heavenly country. We just have to live here for a little while and put up with it and rescue as many as we can. That's the burden of Babylon. Let's pray.